in the country. According to INEC, though, we're just 94 days till the next election, the presidential and national assembly elections, which is, of course, are the first set of elections coming up on February 25. Now, Nigerians expect robust manifestos from presidential candidates as the 2023 polls draw closer and closer. They yearn manifestos that would give a roadmap that would proffer solutions to the myriads of challenges that the country has forced with on them. By the way, yesterday we spoke about quite a number of things. Chiefly, which is, of course, under insecurity or security, if you like. Nigerians want to experience better security. At least we got to find that out yesterday. They want to know about economy and education. They want to know what are these candidates' realistic plan. Not just I will do, I will do, I will do. What is their plan and how they want to implement these plans so that they can make informed choices on who to vote for. They also want to know the roadmap to development that they've got as their plan in their manifesto. So this morning, because we tweeted security and some of the surrounding issues yesterday, this morning we're looking at education, we're looking at health, we're looking at agriculture. We just merely spoke about education yesterday, so we'll start with education. But let me ask, though, are you convinced about these candidates' manifestos? Have you seen any of their manifestos? Some they have released theirs publicly, some they haven't. We're still waiting. Are you convinced about what they have pointed out so far in their TV debates, in their TV town halls, in other engagements that they've had thus far that you've seen, that you've listened to? Now, are these debates and town halls and other engagements sufficient enough for you to judge what would likely play out in the 2023 polls? Is that sufficient for you? Now, how about looking at their manifestos? I'd like to know whether you're convinced by any of these. About 18 candidates are vying for the top job in 2023. We'll see how that pans out. Gbolahan Olajide was here yesterday. He's here again today to help us break this down. Gbolahan, again, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Nice to be here.
Let's begin with education. Yesterday, we spoke extensively on security, insecurity and security. Education. Has any of them impressed you? I'm talking about Bola Tinubu, Atiku Abubakar, Kwankwaso, Peter Obi, Shewore, Prince Adeboye, Professor Umadi. Any one of them, have they impressed you?
Well, I have not read all of the manifestos, but I've been able to walk through a few of them. Like what most Nigerians would call the foremost parties, the four, what I'm talking about. And some of them look quite good. The APC and the PDP manifesto on education literally captured all the issues. You see, at the heart of our education problem are what I would call a tripod. You have the educational infrastructure and teaching aids or materials, as you may want to call it. I was having an engagement with a friend of mine who is from the northern part of Nigeria some times ago. And I said, you see, that these people don't want to go to school and all the rest. And he told me something. He said, look, sometimes it goes beyond people not wanting to go to school. Sometimes there are even no schools to go to. So issues of
the schools are far, far, far away most times,
exactly,
as a matter of fact.
Or they are totally dilapidated. There are no chairs, no tables, nothing. People are studying under the trees. And so we've seen some of these things even in the social media.
That's right.
So the education infrastructure is a major problem. Then the teaching aids, which is also associated, how are teachers able to get across the knowledge that they want to impart? Is it still did you use Blackboard that we used to
Blackboard
and chalk? Those are,
and
education has moved beyond all of that, right, as well. So where are we on the infrastructure, teaching aids and materials? Another part is the curriculum. what exactly are we teaching these people? A friend of mine who had just, you know, in this Jackpine movement, you know, recently, I was having a discussion with him over the weekend. He has a daughter who was an SS2 here, who is now in grade 11 in Canada. And he told me that, you see, there are certain things about education that, look, the same girl that was having taking nine subjects in Nigeria is taking four in Canada now.
Just four subjects.
Just four. One of the four is even sports. You know, so what are we teaching the people? It's also very, that's why the curriculum issue is very important. What are we targeting? You see, education is not about producing graduates, which is a very messy situation we have found ourselves. You know, what is the education? Your education must tie into the national vision of the country. So if a country wants to produce doctors and experts, or if you want to be the IT hub for West Africa, or if you want to be, you want to transform the oil and gas space and, you know, make sure that like 90% of your staff are going to be from Nigeria, you have to target it properly. You must produce the necessary skills that will drive your vision. Otherwise, we think we're producing graduates when we are producing unemployment. You graduate the students into the market, they can't fit into anything. The industry out there is not waiting for them. It doesn't need their skills. The skills that the industry needs are not being produced at the right level and in the right quantities. So that is the curriculum. The third leg is the teachers. Who are the people that will deliver this curriculum? You know, we've seen issues of teachers who could not themselves pass primary four standard tests. And they are teaching people. So teachers, curriculum, education infrastructure, and the teaching aids were well captured in the manifesto of APC and I believe and PDP as well. I did not see that level of rigors in the NNPP and the, well, the Labour Party, the PO at Peter Obi has said that we should jettison that one that was circulating. But if that is the one we're looking at, it also was not deep enough as to take into consideration these matters that I have specified as robustly as the PDP and the APC manifesto have taken them. On the side of NNPP, he had some fantastic ideas.
Okay.
But it tend to lean towards some sort of socialism. There's a lot of free this, free that, free this, free that. And you begin to worry about how we're going to finance all this, free that, free that. At the end of the day, what will be the impact on the quality of education? Because if we take up all this burden and put it on the on the central government, and it is unable to fund it properly, like it has been unable to fund the universities, for example, properly, what will be the impact on the quality of education? So that is why I said some of his own policy in education so tend to lean a bit towards some socialism,
some welfareism kind of system.
And we have to ask him, engage him on how he intends to fund some of those things.
There is no gain in saying that the education is almost dead in the country. There is no gain in saying that. Primary education, secondary education, almost gone. University education standing on one leg as we speak, if it's standing at all, maybe it's crawling. And then quite a number of these candidates have not openly, apart from what is in their manifestos, openly have they, to your satisfaction, treated the topic of education. One angle of that is the number of out-of-school children that we have. About 20 million out-of-school children Nigeria has right now. Another area is girl child education. No, these are indicators, you know, that the world can see, and the world is frightened about, because whatever happens in Nigeria, if Nigeria people don't know that if anything happens to Nigeria, it happens to the rest of the world, not just Africa, the rest of the world. Like, we are the biggest black nation in the world.
Correct.
So you can expect the world to be scared about, you know, protecting their own interest by looking after what Nigeria is doing.
Looking after Nigeria's interest.
Exactly. Because on the long run, they're protecting themselves. So we have 20 million out of school children. I've not seen, I've not heard, I've not watched any of these presidential candidates fully break down their plan to bring back this kid from the streets back to the classroom.
Maybe we have also not asked them, because literally all the manifestos, including the ones that I said might not as be as robust as the other two, spoke to the issue of out of school children. Some of them were quoting numbers that are now outdated, saying 13 million. But we, from the recent numbers we're seeing, it might be much more than that. So the figures in the range of 20 million.
That's right.
Kwakwanso was specific, took it really into details about what he wants to do. He has this 500,000 schools initiative, which is also targeted at mopping up all these students from the streets. All the other people also spoke about, you know, the there's a buzzword in education which is called the access. You know, you create access and affordability, make it easy, make everybody that wants to go to school to be able to go to school and not to have to do it at cost. In fact, which is why I said Kwakwanso is a bit welfareism. The issue of feeding is there. Now, Nigerians, some Nigerians have countered, oh, this school feeding, you know. I have no doubt in my mind that we have not shown enough transparency about school feeding. But see, in reality, school feeding is not original to Nigeria.
No, it's not.
It's been done in some other places.
That's right.
And the results have been measured. It works. Yes. The reason some of those people, students you see on the street when they're supposed to be in school and on school and are there, is that there is no food. And somebody has sent them on the street to go and hawk. So when some of those parents know that if that child should go to school, he's guaranteed of at least a meal, what it does is that it increases school enrollment in literally all the other countries where it has been done. That is what happened. And we can also run a program like that in Nigeria. We just have to be ready to be more transparent about it. Otherwise, you know, our people now will just be feeding cool ghosts. It's the money spent that will be seen. And the effect might not be there. In fact, in the Nigerian situation, I'm not even sure we're measuring. Are we measuring? How has it scaled up the school enrollment?
We should have numbers.
We should have numbers.
By now. We should know how many students have been taken off, how many students, you know, have been enrolled now. We should have these milestones that they set for themselves.
So that does not seem to be. It seems as if we're just interested in spending the money, awarding the food contract and spending the money. But that defeats the policy. If you don't measure it, you can't manage it. You're just wasting money. You're just distributing money.
I mean, let's conclude on education before we go very quickly. Do you think any of these candidates that you've seen their manifesto or you've watched or you've seen, you know, discuss education before, do they have a concrete, solid plan about ending ASUU strike?
No. I don't think there is any of them has shown concrete plan. Most of the things that were captured in their manifesto, wow, you know, in performance management, there's something they call whistle words. They are just, those words are just there. You cannot really drill them down into specific, and they're difficult to hold anybody accountable to them. But they will be there. People will say things like promote so. We shall vigorously do something. All those things are just whistle words. You can't drill them down to specifics. For the candidate, when it comes to the verbal engagement, I would think an Obi has spoken more about education, probably more than most of the other people have. In some instances, have, you know, listened to him say something about what he did in the education space. But as far as specifically funding tertiary education is concerned,
right?
In the verbal engagement, I've not really seen much. In the manifesto, you will see statements like "we shall, you know, address the issue of funding of tertiary education." Those are also whistle words. What is address the issue? How? So the hows are still very sketchy on how exactly they want to do it. So when we find them on the platform, on any podium again, let's be able to ask them on some of these hows.
Right.
Otherwise, that 50-year-old problem will continue to linger.
It will continue.
All of them were talking about education loan, though, and all of that, which I believe is part of, you know, funding issues.
Yeah.
But it's still not properly put together.
When they say education loan, they're talking about student loan.
They're just talking about student loan. In fact, one is going to establish an education bank, which will focus.
Is that realistic?
you can do it. You can do it. You can also do.
Who is going to pay him back? Does he have a job waiting for somebody somewhere after the person finishes school?
Exactly. So when we take them up, those are the things we need to ask.
I mean, how realistic are these promises?
It's been done in some climes.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when people don't have a job, they are not able to pay that thing back.
Yeah.
Until when they get a job. In certain instances, there are write-offs. So we have to just be able to craft the policy to know exactly what we're shooting at. Because sometimes when some of these policies are also put in place, the people or the decision makers know that some of this money will never come back. So it's not that it's going to be a surprise that it didn't come back. Yeah. They've seen it as part of some sort of welfareism, some sort of granting access.
If it comes back, it comes back.
If it doesn't,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Let's take a few calls. We'll go take this call, then go off to take this break. Then we'll come back and talk health. The UCH CMD, Chief Medical Director, is saying that 15 health workers resign. They leave the UCH every week. Okay, that will be after the break. But right now, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. I have... okay, let's see how many we can talk to before the break. Good morning to you.
Mr. Asheri.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Bayo on the line.
Mr. Bayo, welcome.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate your guest anyway. Well, my own take is that I think in all of this, really, Rabbi Kwaku and so actually have some interesting manifesto, right? And it shows that he has the experience. Okay, but now lies to him on how to run. Is there any political will? That's what we don't know, because every one of them are just like that. Going back the campaign of 2015 by APC and another, and this is where we have found ourselves. Then concerning the education that you rightly asked, I don't think that these people really have that that culture, that primary elementary school culture in their mind. Everything they have, to me, it is about projects to which they can amend a lot of things, because it is sad. I sat in the north, really, you trek a distance of your office there down to Ikoyi before you can even get a primary school without no infrastructure.
It's not nice.
It is sad.
Fundamental problems.
And you ask them that, have that not been budget for this? Both states, federal, it is sad.
Thank you, Bayo, for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, that further even buttressed what we said earlier.
Education infrastructure is critical. It's critical. It's not just about, they don't want to go to school. Are there schools for them to go to?
And I also like the idea of incentivizing it. If you're going to give the children meal, give them quality meal. Because I've seen so many videos of the kind
the
of
meals that are not good enough
for the kids. Let's step out. Let's go off on this break. We'll return. We'll talk some more with you. Stay here, Lagos. Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sheriff Kori Bolamolojede is here, and we've been talking about what your candidates have been saying in their various public engagement, whether you have been impressed thus far, who has impressed you, who hasn't, what are the areas you feel that they should talk more about, the areas that you feel that they should outline their plans, proper plans on how rather than what. Would come back to you, but because of time, we need to quickly race up right now to talk about other areas of our conversation this morning, okay? We'll come to health. But before we get to health, yeah, let's quickly look at the energy sector. And the part of the energy sector we're looking at is crude oil, refinery, fuel subsidy, clean energy. Voila. Is there any of these candidates that impressed you?
This was very firm. So I'm saying they did not come out to the peer. So it was did that more openly. The other parties sort of dance around it, they look at the circumstance when they get there, see what they can fix and what they cannot fix. But everybody recognizes the fact that oil and gas is a very important part of our government revenues around our lives. Mm-hmm. They have plans for major reforms. Some of these reforms that we will have expected. Of some get into details of the how we need to do pipeline, how we need to take gas as an energy transition and improve all of that. We have to be able to, yesterday there were questions around how accountability, how are we going to be able to hold them to some of these promises?
Mm-hmm. Because I was going to tell you, I was going to ask you that, APC is putting that forward. They put it forward before. So what is new in what they're putting forward now?
So that space of performance management has to be exploited more robustly. Mm. I don't know how effective the National Assembly, because that is supposed to be a check.
Yeah.
I don't know how effective they're going to be. They've not been that effective when it comes to holding the executive accountable.
Especially these past 7 years. Yeah.
So what you see is all this probe. Mm. They do the probe. We don't see the results of the probe. We don't see improvement. It's as if they even get in cahoot with the people they're supposed to check. That is one problem. It is not impossible to dovetail all these promises and these manifestos into a proper performance management framework, where we can hold people accountable for specifics. So if someone had said, I'm going to take off the street 20 million out of school children, how many are you going to take off in year one, in year two, in year three? Then we can set specifics, we can determine how we are going to measure, and we can determine when we are going to measure, and we can roll out the performance scorecards at the end of those periods. Who is going to do this? There are two thoughts that come to my mind. Number one is that a government, a serious government in itself, can decide to do it within its own structure. So you set up an agency like, it doesn't have to be a separate agency or creating ministry, no. Like an MBS. MBS rolls out its report, and the report sometimes will indict the government.
And they don't even care. It's their research and their report, and they just put it out there.
Yeah. So you can have something like that by the government, government funded. The other one is a private initiative.
Okay.
But even private initiative has to be funded. So whether using international organizations or some other Nigerian institutions who might be, because there are several foundations being led by Nigerians who are interested in the success of Nigerians today.
Right.
And they can put some money down to fund this kind of work. So we can do it. I've been extensively involved in performance management, and I know that these things are doable.
Have any of these candidates, has any of them said anything about fuel subsidy, apart from being in their manifesto? The reason is whether they're even aware of what is being written or what was written for them in their manifesto or not. Has there been any public address by any of these candidates in this regard?
Literally all of them have mentioned it, just that none of them has shown the details of understanding of what is going on with fuel subsidy. I'm not saying
because it's almost like most of them don't know what is happening
even
until they get into office. Then they're like, ah, sorry, we thought this. So
that is a major problem. Even the current president,
yeah,
when he was running, the video is still online.
It's right there. Speak. It's right there.
Where he was saying, what is subsidy? As if subsidy doesn't exist. Mm. Apparently, he did not understand how the system was working. And I have also not seen that level of understanding amongst any of the candidates. You must understand.
Does that worry you?
Very worrisome. Very worrisome. Part of what manifesto should be is that there should be some sort of working sessions with the candidates. Right. Consultants are putting together, or you set up a team, they put up this fantastic document together. You must have working sessions with them where the experts sit and walk you through a particular segment so you have an understanding. If they say, oh, first subsidy is a dark hole of unaccountability, money is being stolen, how exactly is it playing out? Do you know it? If you don't know it, and you think when you get there, you will stop it. How? In fact, I even expect them to be able to discuss what is your approach. Maybe I'm going to be in one platform today. That would be my question to that candidate. What will be your approach to dealing with full subsidy? Fantastic. And that's when you begin to see that the devil is in the details.
It's in the details. Oh, my word. So we don't have enough time. I think we'll just take this call. Then we'll begin to go. We can't even touch health, really, sadly. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you. Quickly, please.
Okay. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning, madam.
I'm calling from Orilegon. Sherry, when we were growing up, there was one incentive that was like taking us to school there, and it's sports. We do what is in our days, there's what we call principal call, SNC Cup. You want to see every children within our locality. None of these candidates is talking about sport. So sport is another means that you can use to entice people to go to school.
Mm.
In our days, we do school relays, inter-school relays. In fact, every student is almost busy. Students were going from school to. In fact, it was a fun.
That's right. I think I was nostalgic a bit when he was saying sport there. Really, it really worked. But Gbolahan, we have to go. I'm tempted to have us conclude what we, because we've not touched agriculture, we've not touched
the healthcare
health
part. Yeah, you remember the policy I said? I'm aware of that. Peter did when he was.
Can we do it? Can we do this tomorrow again? Or you have a date somewhere? Or can we do it next week?
If we can do it tomorrow, let me communicate with you.
Okay, all right. Because we really need to talk about this. Now that the candidates are out there engaging with people, it'll be time to also, what we're trying to do is to sensitize and enlighten the people on the right questions to ask these candidates and where their focus should be, not to how eloquent or how this or how that their candidates are, or how evasive their candidates can be, or how outspoken their candidates can be. Not all of those things don't matter. What matters is substance of that engagement. Gbolahan, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
It's been an amazing 2 days. Lagos, thank you for being a part of the show this morning. I'm Sherif Quadri. You can find me on social media at Sherif Quadri on Twitter, on Instagram. Facebook is Sherif Quadri as well. Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu is next. Chief Body Judge is his guest at 9. Stay here.